You're listening to the Blissful Bites podcast, episode 166.
Welcome to Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Each week, we bring you a successful woman, inspiring message, or business tip to help you build a sustainable business you're proud of. Now, your host, Nicole Culver.
Welcome to another episode here on the Blissful Bites podcast. I'm so excited you are here with me. I have so many things to tell you before we get into today's episode, which I'm so psyched to share this interview with you. But first, I want to tell you it is almost April. We are 3 months into 2017. And after just kind of reading and listening in my community, I realized, okay, our first 90 days of the year are over. We are getting into the second quarter of the year, the second group of 3 months, and it's time to refocus. It's time for us to forget those mile-long to-do lists that we all have. It's time to stop spending hours and hours on social media without having a real strategy, and we need to come together, redo our goals, make a clear strategy so we can grow over the next 90 days. So I'm putting together another planning party. It's going to be 5 days to really get refocused and replan out what you're doing so you can prioritize and really figure out how you can grow over the next 90 days. So come join us. You can go to NicoleCulverBlog.com/planning, and that will take you to the sign up. It starts April 10th, and I'm really excited to take you through this again. I had hundreds of people go through this last time in December, and it was such a good success, I decided to bring it back again. Let's get right into the interview. So I'm really excited to bring you this interview today with Maria Karas. Funny enough, Maria and I grew up not too far from each other, except now she lives in beautiful Greece. So I'm really excited to give you this interview and just give you an insight into how she runs her business. I'm going to kind of challenge you. I was talking about how each one of the guests I have on this podcast really have figured out how to stand out online in this crowded online world. So when you're listening to these interviews, I really want you to think about, what do you think makes Maria or Kelsey or anyone else I have on this podcast, what do you think makes them stand out, and how do they leverage that to really have a profitable business? So I think you're going to have a lot of great takeaways here on the Blissful Bites podcast, and be sure to go and find Maria and tell her if you enjoyed this podcast. And also, I would forever appreciate you if you took the time to rate and review this podcast if you enjoyed it. So let's get right into the interview. Maria Karas is the CEO at Maria Karas Creative, a creative copywriting agency. She helps coaches, creatives, and online educators thrive online. Hey, Maria.
Hey, Nicole. It's good to be here.
Yeah, I'm so excited to have you on.
I'm so excited. We've been trying to connect for a while, and we finally made it happen.
Yes, I know. We have kind of been missing each other, I think, since like the summer, and it's February, but it's so excited that we're finally talking.
I know. We've stayed connected for so long. So yeah, let's do this.
Yeah. So tell everyone a little bit about you and your business.
So I am a copywriter. And I write copy for coaches, like you said, coaches, creatives, people who have online businesses and online presence. I write website copy, sales pages, landing pages. And I don't do this by myself. I have like a team of wonderful writers everyone has their own specialty. So together we kind of help businesses tell their stories and connect with their ideal clients.
So what actually is copywriting with a W?
That is, everyone asks that question. It's so funny. Well, so copywriting is writing with the intent to sell something. So that is the goal of the technical term for copywriting. You're trying to market something, you're trying to sell something.
So is this something I didn't mean to interrupt. You go.
No, go ahead.
Is this something that you have done for a while? Was this what you went to school for? How did you get into it?
So my background is in PR. So I started my career in London, working for a film studio, and I was working in their PR department. I was a publicist, so I helped publicize their films nationwide. So I would help actors and directors get interviews in magazines and get reviews for the films and get kind of press coverage and television and magazines and newspapers and all of that stuff. So I've always kind of been involved in like marketing things and like creative things. So it involved a lot of pitching to journalists and kind of telling a story. So I've always been involved with that. And so when I moved to Greece, which is where I am now from London, I thought I would stop working for my previous employer, the film studio, but they actually offered me a job to work remotely. So I continued working for them kind of in a seasonal capacity because I was mostly involved with promoting their awards films during awards season, which is what we're in right now. It's like Oscar season. So I continued to work with them, and it was because it was a seasonal thing. It was like 6 months out of the year. I had like another 6 months in the year to do something else with myself. So I just thought, why not continue doing this kind of thing, like PR and marketing? And that's kind of how I started out, kind of setting up my website and then finding my own clients to do kind of marketing and more specifically copywriting, because that's what I enjoyed the most.
Copywriting, I think, can seem so scary when you're not used to it. So how do you actually, like, if you're sitting there and you have a product to sell, how do mm-hmm. you even get started from that blank white page?
That's a really good question. So you've got a product to sell and you're selling it to somebody who needs it. So it's really about getting into the mind of the person who needs that product and identifying very specifically why it is that they need that product and kind of talking to that really in your copy and really getting into the mindset. So if you're in a service-based industry, your clients will have a lot of pain points, and it's about really identifying those pain points and kind of working them into your copy so that you're talking directly to them so that they can immediately see themselves in what you're writing. And they can identify as someone that you can help. And this is specifically for service-based. So if you've got a service-based product, you really kind of want to get into the mind of your client. And that's where it really helps to get really specific about who your client is. Like if you're writing any kind of copy, you need to get really specific about who your client is. Is it stay-at-home moms? Is it recent graduates? Is it people who want to leave the 9-to-5 and start their own business? Like get really specific and kind of start using words that they would use to describe their struggles, their dreams, their hopes, and start working that into your copy. And immediately you have like words that speak right to them.
I always suggest that people actually get on the phone with that perfect person or that perfect buyer. So how do you suggest that people get started figuring out what words they use instead of just kind of making assumptions?
Definitely. You're absolutely right. Getting on the phone is the best thing that you can do. And not just getting on the phone, but if you can do a Skype in like a Skype date or even meet in person to get kind of like, you get like a different kind of energy from someone when you're in the same like room as them. Or if you can see them the way they kind of move their hands or their facial expressions, you can really pick up a lot from that. And when they're talking, just get an idea of what's important to them and what's, you know, just like a different energy from when you can actually see them face to face. So absolutely, getting on the phone with them is just gold. And yeah, sorry, go ahead.
No, you go.
So yeah, getting on the phone with them. And I think another really good way to really connect with your client is to kind of write in your own voice. And the way to kind of find your own voice is to practice kind of talking out loud about what it is that you do and seeing what words you use when you talk and making sure to include that in your copy, because it just makes it more human and it makes you more human and it makes it so much easier for someone to kind of reach out to you when they read your copy And then when they finally connect with you, they're exactly who they thought you would be because they feel like they've already kind of met you through your words. So
I think a lot of time people think that they need to be like fancy kind of. And I think it kind of ends up doing the opposite of what you want, of what your goal was.
Exactly. Like, what does fancy mean? Like using really long words, really big words, or like really long sentences. But for me, I found it most effective, and for my clients as well, to just write as you would speak. And that could be like in short sentences and bullet points and paragraphs, make it conversational. And I'm talking specifically now because I've been doing a lot of about pages. I'm doing like a promotion for about pages. So I've been doing a lot of about pages. So like in my mind right now, when I'm talking about copy, I'm talking about writing copy for people's about pages on their websites. So, cause really that's like your about page. If you're a service-based business owner, that is the page that you're going to sell yourself, because people buy from you because it's you. Do you know what I mean? It's not because you've got like a really good product, which you might do, but if they read your about page and they like you and they can connect with you, then they're probably going to buy from you. So that is my kind of one big thing about pages. Make them conversational, make them like there's a human behind the business, and let people get to know you and the way that you sound and all of that stuff. So
yeah, that is so, so important. And I get a lot of questions about writing about pages. So I would love, how do you actually structure, or how do you suggest you structure writing your about page? Because a lot of people just don't know even where to start. And it's hard for people to write about themselves too.
It's so hard to write about yourself and how great you are and how, you know, about your expertise. And I get that. It is really hard. And one of the most common questions I get when it comes to about pages is whether it should be in the first person or the third person. And I always say the first person because you just come across as so much more personable. And it's just more human to write as if you're talking to somebody. So that is definitely the first thing that I would say before you even start. Just start it off in the first person. And the second thing that you should really be aware of is, like I mentioned before, is really getting specific about who your client is. So once you know who your client is, I would say starting off your about page with like a one-liner. So you would say something like, "Hi, I'm Maria, and I'm a copywriter for coaches and creatives, and I help them create copy that captivates and books them clients." So you're going to want to have like a really short, succinct sentence that says who you are, what you do, who you help, and how you help them. And then you go on to talk about your client's pain points, because really your about page is not so much about you. It's more about your client, because if someone's going to land on your about page, they don't really care that much about you yet. They're more interested in finding out how you can help them. So make sure that you kind of hook your readers in. So outline their pain points, you know, ask questions. Do you get stressed about losing weight? Are you having trouble finding time to work out? You know, like really get specific about what they're struggling with. And then go on to talk about how you can help them and how maybe you've helped other people achieve the results that they want to achieve. So show them, give them some social proof that you've helped others and that you can help them. There's so much that goes into an about page. but it's a really powerful page that I think certainly for me, it's one of the most visited pages on my site. And it's really like a gateway for people to reach out to me. Like it's kind of the first thing when people contact me, they'll mention something that they read on my about page. So you want your about page to be a conversation starter. Like I talk about my personal life. I say like, I talk about where I've lived, that I've got two kids, that I live with a moody cat. So people email me and they're like, you know, "Hey, I have a moody cat too. So how can you help me with my copy?" You know, it's kind of like a conversation starter. You're breaking the ice. And it makes it a lot less intimidating for people to reach out to you. So it's really important to get your about page right.
And I know you have a download that they can, instead of, they can listen to this, but then they can use your download to help them structure that about page.
Yes, definitely. You can, I've got it on my website. I cannot for the life of me remember the link right now, which is probably a very bad idea, but we can definitely include it in the show notes.
Yes.
But I've got a download. It's a worksheet. It's a fillable 8-page worksheet that helps you work through the different aspects of your about page. And it's got space for you to fill in your answers. And so once you finish it, you've got a really good solid foundation for writing your own about page.
Awesome. That is perfect. And would you say your copywriting, or like doing an about page, what is the biggest part of your business right now?
It's definitely copywriting. So about pages is, doing like one-off about pages is definitely part of it, but I also do full website copy. So I work with designers, to design websites for clients, and we kind of work together to kind of structure the copy on a website. So I'll do the home pages, and I'll do the contact pages and the about pages and the sales pages. It's a really big project, but it's so rewarding to see kind of the final product come together online. And then I also do email sequences and newsletters, all that good stuff.
What would you say, what are like the biggest mistakes that when your clients come to you, they're making in copywriting?
I think it's we mentioned this before as well, like, they're trying to be too fancy with their words, and they're not talking in their own voice. They're not being genuine with who they are. That's definitely the number one thing, that they haven't really found their voice yet. And the best way to really find your voice is, like I said, just keep talking out loud about what it is that you do, and like record yourself and really listen to the words that you're using. And secondly, just keep writing. Just keep writing. Keep practicing writing in your own voice, and soon you'll find it and it'll become second nature, because there's so much thought that goes into the blank page. Is just such a scary thing, and we overthink everything that we need to put on this blank page, and we don't let our natural kind of voice flow out. So it's really just putting that, it's all about putting that guard down and letting your natural voice come out. Pretend as if you're talking to a friend or writing an email to a friend. So that is the number one thing that I wish my clients would do more of. And secondly, it's again really kind of honing in on who their target clients are, because that really will determine the shape of your copy and what words and phrases that you're using. So those are definitely the two things that it would be great if my clients kind of had a little bit more practice on before kind of coming to me. But again, we work together to find all of that stuff, so it's not a big deal. It's not easy to do, so it's fair enough.
I love the idea of just kind of writing more and talking out loud, and really figuring out how you talk to friends, and then using that to actually translate to your pages or to your blog posts or to whatever that is. Do you think there's a certain amount of time that you need to spend writing per day or per week to really figure out that voice? Because I think that's definitely something that people struggle with. You don't want to sound too slangy, and you don't want to sound too professional. So it takes a while to hone that in.
Definitely. I mean, I can't say, I guess it differs for everyone, like the amount of time that you should spend on this. But if you're posting to social media consistently, to Facebook, if you're sending newsletters, if you're being kind of active in the social media space, you're kind of practicing there anyway, like in your captions. I think a lot, so people, I feel, just in general, should kind of put a little bit more thought in their caption, into their captions, because it's such prime real estate for really good copy, because people on social media are generally kind of like a pretty engaged like audience, because they're all active, they're sharing, they're liking, they're tweeting, they're commenting. It's such an active kind of place. So good copy in a place like this could really go a long way. So I think you can practice a lot there, but I mean, obviously you can do your own private practice and like writing in Word or Google Docs, just kind of just your thoughts, getting your thoughts out, I guess, and kind of talking about your business in a more casual way and see what comes out and what seems natural to you. But I generally like to test out social media for like testing out my voice and see what works and what doesn't work, because you do get like that immediate response. So yeah.
So that takes us perfectly into the next question on Instagram. I know, since most people who are listening are food bloggers, so tell us about your Instagram accounts.
Yes. So I really love Instagram. That's like my favorite place to hang out. And that's where I do most of my marketing. And that's where I've met most of my business besties. And that's where most of my collaborations have come from. And that's where most of my clients come from. So I love Instagram. And I have my own business account at Karis Creative. And then I kind of have like a little side passion project, I guess you can call it. And it's called The Donut Feed. And I just share pictures of beautiful donuts because I'm slightly obsessed with donuts. And I think other people are too. So I've got a really active kind of following over there. So if you like donuts, then come on over or share your donut pics with me at the Donut Feed and I'll repost them. It's really fun to do, and it's really fun to connect with people in such a kind of carefree way. Like, there's no, I'm not monetizing it. I'm literally just connecting with other donut lovers, and it's really, really fun. And who knows, down the line, something might come of it. But at the moment, I'm kind of just focused on building an engaged following and seeing where that takes me.
So what have you found over there that really works the best, or what types of pictures get the most engagement, captions, etc.?
I have like a really set style with the pictures that I choose. So because they're all food, so they're all donuts, so they're all food related. And I think I really avoid using pictures that are taken in natural light. Like, I tend to navigate towards pictures that are well styled, well lit, well composed. That generally are like quite aesthetically pleasing, because there could be some quite dodgy, some funny looking food photos out there. But I really think it helps to have natural lighting in your food photos, or at least professionally lit food photos. So I kind of have a very particular style because I want my Instagram feed to be cohesive and to kind of be generally just appealing and just good on the eyes. Like, so I have a very particular style. And in terms of the captions, it's kind of just got, I just kind of tend to ask questions, like really silly questions, and that gets people engaged. I ask people to tag friends who like, I don't know, Pokemon-shaped donuts, you know, just kind of like riding the trends as well. Like, during Pokemon Go, I would post so many Pokemon donuts, and that did amazing things for my following, because if you use the right hashtags at the right times, like trending hashtags, like you could really grow your following by hundreds a day. So I'm always kind of got the finger on the pulse of what's going to be trending soon. Like, if it's Nutella day or if it's pancake day or whatever, I'll try to find like Nutella shaped donuts, which do exist. Do you guys have Nutella there? I'm talking about, okay, good. So yeah, that's just a really fun side project, and I'm kind of exploring different things with it. So
that's so fun, and it does look really pretty, so everyone should go check it out.
Thank you.
So what's funny is that we realized we actually grew up about 15 minutes away from each other. Maria lives in Greece now, but she grew up on Long Island, which is really funny. So how do you balance the whole work, kids, husband thing and stay sane?
I am not sane. The good thing is that my husband kind of works for us, for our own company. So he works at home with me, which means that like he can also take care of the kids if I'm really kind of busy and working with clients and stuff. So I've got the support from him, which is amazing. I've got my parents nearby, which also help me with the kids. is pretty fairly relaxed. I say that now that my kids are slightly older, but if you'd asked me 2 years ago, I was just, pulling my hair out. But things are fairly relaxed at the moment, thank goodness. We've got fairly kind of structured days, so it really helps to have a structure and boundaries. Like I tend to stop working most days once the kids get home from school. And sometimes I'll work till 5, but very rarely beyond that. So I've got very set boundaries about how much time my work is going to take, because I really do want to enjoy spending time with my kids and watching them grow. So, yeah.
I love that. Boundaries and set work hours. I think that's really important.
Yes. And I recently just set up like an autoresponder on my email. You've probably seen it, which says that I only check my email twice a day and for people to like expect a reply from me within like 48 hours. So because I'm such a slave to my inbox and I hate that, and I'm really trying to battle this, I don't even know what to call it, this addiction, I'm such a victim to it. So I really want to fight the inbox overwhelm. So I'm setting boundaries there as well by telling people when they should expect a reply from me.
I love that. I need to do that. I think you're going to inspire me.
It's funny how people respect it. And you know what I mean? Like there's a certain then expectation from your clients, like they respect you, like keep their distance a little bit better. Like you kind of, you're teaching them.
Yes, 100%. To kind of,
yeah. So I'm very pleased with doing that. I would recommend that to everyone.
Well, lastly, just tell everyone where they can find you, your website and your social media handles.
So my website is www.mariacaris.com. And I'm on Instagram at Caris Creative and Twitter as well, the same handle. And I've got a Facebook group as well if anybody wants to join. It's called Rock Your Biz with Maria Caris. And that's me, I think. I think I've listed them all.
Well, thank you so much for being here today. You were so much fun, and I will include your freebie about page download in the show notes.
Perfect. Thank you so much, Nicole. It's been so much fun.
You can find all information about Maria in our show notes at NicoleCulverblog.com/podcast. You've been listening to the Blissful Bites podcast. If you like this episode, subscribe to the podcast so you can hear more inspiring interviews and a helpful business tip. Do you know what stage of blogging you're in? I put together this quiz to help you figure out what stage of blogging you're in and what you need to do to actually get to the next level. So take the quiz. It takes about 30 seconds. And from there, you'll learn what stage you're in and what things that you need to focus on to bring your blog and your business to the next level. Visit NicoleCulverblog.com/quiz to take it and get started.
This has been Blissful Bites, a food entrepreneur podcast. Thanks for listening.